It's just comedy.
The Jell-O Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra.
Thank you, thank you. This is Groucho Marx. Well, here I am, stepping in over my head again.
I'm with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Folks, this is just as new to me as it is to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, what an original greeting.
Hello and welcome to another week of comedy, funny, ha-ha, on Dwayne Old Time Radio.
Also, my podcasts are free of ads, so you can enjoy the programs commercial-free. If you would like to donate a few dollars to help me cover the cost of creating these weekly posts, you can donate to my channel. On the bottom of each post, there is a donation link in your preferred podcast player. Anything you donate is extremely helpful and appreciated.
We're going to welcome a new program to the podcast. This one is titled, the program is titled Bob and Ray. And Bob and Ray was Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding, if I'm saying that correctly. I hope I am. Goulding or Goulding, one of those two. Okay, but they were a comedy team. They started in the mid-1940s, and they were rather successful until the mid to late 1980s. But this is the Bob and Ray program, and we are welcoming Mr. Ray and Mr. Bob to Dwayne Old Time Radio. We're going to start with six little mini episodes. I don't know if these were what these aired summer of 1957. They're each about 15 minutes long, give or take. And these don't have titles, but they have numbers. Number 487, number 531, number 538, number 539, and number 540. The information says that these dates are approximate. There are no dates. I don't know what they mean by the date is approximate. But in any event, these are believed to have aired sometime in the summer of 1957. Bob and Ray.
Bob, 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 Ray, 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 Ray for Bob and Ray. Let's all have nub with Ray and Bob upon this glorious day. The joy be unfolding with fervent ecstasy. Oh, Elliot and Goulding, Leona sings to thee. To Bob, 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 and Ray, 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 hark ye and come ye near. Today's the day for Bob and Ray, so lift your voices clear.
Very funny mechanical joke to start off today's Bob and Ray show.
Right. Thought we might chastise them for that.
Those are not our fault. I think we ought to clear ourselves of that, too.
I think so. I think we should explain who's responsible for that kind of baloney. Wish I had a microphone near me, friends, but Ronnie Hopper's our engineer, and I think he neglected to see that I had a mic.
He does that once in a while. If you talk up a little bit louder, it'll sound just the same, though.
All right. If I yell, maybe you can hear me okay.
How's that level? Pretty good? You're going over to Fred Falvey's first, I guess, huh?
Yes, we are. Now that I have a microphone, Bob, we can get right over there. And here we are in the workshop of Fred Falvey down in his basement. Fred, you know, is the famous do-it-yourselfer. And I'm sure that he's all prepared to pass along some more of his helpful hints to you today. Incidentally, Fred, that big wall fan you got going over there. That's
yes.
Something new, isn't it?
Well, that's part of a little gadget I rigged up to air condition the basement workshop for the summer. I drilled a hole in the side of our refrigerator upstairs, and I ran a pipe down to this fan. The fan sucks the cool air out of the refrigerator and blows it around here.
Well, that's quite an idea. I imagine, though, it runs your electric bill up pretty high, doesn't it?
No, we keep the refrigerator set just the way it was before. Food gets rancid, but I'll be working down here in the real comfort even though the hottest months may be bothering other folks.
So, here we have just another example, my dear friends, of better living by doing it yourself,
yes,
eh, Fred?
This is just another example of better living by doing it yourself. Incidentally, the temperature in here now is down to about 40. I think I'll turn the thing off for a while.
Yeah, well, that should help a little. It's getting pretty chilly here. Tell me, Fred, what tips have you chosen to pass along to the home handyman in our audience this week?
Well, this week, Ray, I'm going to demonstrate how you can cut out one of the biggest items in your wife's budget by making her nylon stockings right in your own home workshop.
Gee, I never realized that it was possible, really, to make nylon hosiery in the basement workshop. I thought it took a great deal of equipment.
Well, it does take some, but I've managed to cut corners here and there. The basic ingredients of nylon are quite inexpensive: water, air, and carbon. Of course, I use regular household air and water. And I have the girls at the office saving all their old carbon paper for me. And I scrape off the carbon. I have everything I need except this machine here, which blends the ingredients into nylon. One of these costs about $450,000, but I have a friend in the business who got one for me wholesale.
Well, now I notice that you've poured the ingredients into the machine there, Fred.
That's right.
And I wonder if you'd show us just how it produces the nylon yarn.
Well, it's all done automatically, of course, just by throwing this switch. Here, I'll show you.
And there we have it. Nylon yarn produced right in a home workshop. But, of course, you still have the problem now of weaving it into hosiery, Fred. Do you have another machine to do that?
Well, you can buy a hosiery machine, but, of course, that's just a hobby with me here, so I'm doing the weaving by hand in my spare time. You can see that I've got about a quarter of an inch of the toe of one stocking done here already.
Mm-hmm. That must really be a painstaking job, weaving those little fine threads together.
Well, you can't see to do it with the naked eye at all. I hold a magnifying glass in one hand and weave with the other.
And they'll be produced, I suppose, at a fraction of what the same item would cost you in a store.
Well, I don't know what it would cost in a store, but these will run me about $3,000 a pair.
So once again, we've seen an example of better living by doing it yourself in the basement workshop of Fred Falvey, the do-it-yourselfer.
I won't dance, madam, with you. My heart won't let my feet do things that they should do. You know what? You're lovely. You know what? You're so lovely. And oh, what you do to me. I'm like an ocean wave that's bumped on the shore. I feel so absolutely stumped on the floor. When you dance, you're charming and you're gentle. Especially when you do the continental. But this feeling isn't purely mental. For heaven rest us. Why I won't dance. Why should I? I won't dance. How could I? I won't dance. Merci beaucoup. I know that music leads the way to romance. So if I hold you in my arms, I won't dance. I won't dance. Don't ask me. Shore. I feel so this feeling isn't purely mental. For heaven rest us, I am not infestus. And that's why I won't dance. I won't dance. I won't dance. Merci beaucoup.
Again to Bridget Hillary and the News, the exciting true-to-life story of a girl radio reporter who dares to tell the truth in her weekly broadcasts. As our scene opens today, Rudyard Swamp, the president of the Amalgamated Broadcasting Company, is just entering the rehearsal room where Bridget is at work on her script.
Oh, Mr. Swamp, I didn't realize that you or any of the other network executives would be around so late in the evening. I would have taken you for a night janitor, except that they don't wear gray flannel uniforms with carnations in the lapel.
Well, I stayed down on purpose this evening, Bridget, because I want you to know what a fine job I think you're doing for Amalgamated. In fact, there's going to be a handsome increase in your paycheck beginning next week.
1 minute to that time, Miss Sullery.
Just a little token to show how much we appreciate having you on the Amalgamated team.
Are you trying to bribe me to keep my mouth shut, Mr. Swamp?
Well, of course not. Those of us on the management team just feel that you're doing a bang-up job, and we want to show our appreciation.
Apparently, you've gotten word of the radio editorial I plan to run recommending that Amalgamated be investigated by the government.
You're going to run an editorial recommending that we be investigated by the government?
30 seconds to air time, Miss Hillary.
What in the world would the government investigate us for?
I'm afraid you know the answer to that as well as I do, Mr. Swamp.
Well,
you're not broadcasting in the public interest. Perhaps you don't remember, but my fiancé, Clark Damish, was in to see you a while back with the suggestion that you run 3 hours of sustaining cello music every night from 7 to 10. You rejected the idea on the grounds that you have sponsored programs at that time. And I'm going to have to expose you for the money grubber you really are.
But, Miss Hillary, 3 hours of cello music every night is not my idea of broadcasting in the public interest.
You're on the air, Mr. Swamp. I'm sorry.
Besides, Damish wanted to do the playing himself, and he's only been taking cello lessons for about a month now.
Mr. Swamp, it's the duty of network radio to raise cultural levels. If Amalgamated won't do it, then I'll have to recommend on the air that the FCC revoke the licenses of all your affiliated stations.
Bridges, you'd be throwing thousands of people out of work just because of one nut who doesn't know how to play the cello.
Your program is off the air now, Miss Hillary. When you didn't show up in the studio, they filled the time with the soundtrack for an old Howdy Doody Cusco.
I've spent my life building this network, Bridget. And I don't want to see the name of Amalgamated rake through the mud just because you and this lunatic boyfriend of yours like cello music.
Mr. Swamp, you've always been good to me. But when this network ceases to operate in the public interest, my responsibility is not to you, it's to the American people.
And so Bridget takes the step that could destroy the network where she's worked for 23 years. Be sure to be with us next time when we'll hear the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission say,
I recommend that we leave the network alone and have that Hillary woman committed.
That's in the next exciting episode of Bridget Hillary and the News. We'll be right back.
roof you must repair, and you're heading way up there. Do you know the shoes to wear? Make up your mind. To play it safe, your shoes should be the kind that aren't slippery, or you may wreck your vertebrae. Make up your mind.
Well, that's about it for now. We'll be back, though, in a little while with some more really funny entertainment for you folks. Right.
The Bob and Ray Show has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Newspapers about this particular show, and we've got some sterling features to present. Our program to encourage young inventors is to the fore. And the winning letter picked from this week's mail seems to show an unusual amount of promise. We've flown the writer of the letter here to New York to describe his invention, and he's here beside us now.
That's right, I'm here beside you.
Your name is Ludlow Crumble, is that right?
No, my name is Frederick Flesh. Ludlow Crumble is the fellow I had write the letter for me. Oh. See, I have trouble putting words together so they make any sense.
Oh, well, you have more of a purely scientific mind, I imagine.
No, I'm just illiterate.
Well, it's your invention that we're primarily interested in, Mr. Flesh. In your letter, you say you've invented a device that will bring color television down within the reach of everyone. Is that right?
Well, it'll make it a lot cheaper, if that's what you mean.
Well, how about telling us how this gadget of yours works, will you?
Well, I discovered this thing quite by accident. You see, I have a black and white TV set.
Uh-huh.
A few months ago, it occurred to me that you could see colored pictures on the set if you looked at the thing through colored glasses.
Just ordinary sunglasses, you mean?
That was the original idea, yes, but the trouble there was that you only saw one color. Well, I was trying to think of a way around that obstacle when I happened to remember those colored tops the kids have. They're painted in the three primary colors. That's your red, your blue, and your yellow.
Mm-hmm.
But when you spin them around at different speeds, they give the illusion of being all different colors.
Well, when you tried to apply this idea to your invention, is
that
right?
Well, I not only tried, I did it. See, I made up a spectacle lens with red, blue, and yellow stripes in them. Then I fitted them with ball bearings so they'd spin around in the spectacle frame.
I noticed that those glasses you brought with you have strange colored lenses in them. How do you make them spin in the frames?
Well, that's done electrically. See, this cord going down from the frames just plugs into an ordinary wall socket.
This really is quite an idea, Mr. Flesh, and attracts our interest, piques our fancy. Can you really get the effect of color TV by watching the set through these glasses?
Oh, sure. They work fine. The best part is that I'll be able to make them to sell for about $8.95 a pair.
Wow. A price like that will certainly revolutionize color TV. Can you demonstrate how the glasses work, sir?
Yeah, see, you just put them on, then plug them in like this, and... Oh, wow!
What's the matter, Mr. Flesh?
Well, I'm being electrocuted. Do something, will you?
Well, I don't know. Has this ever happened
no,
before?
No, never. Don't you have alternate current in here?
No, I think this is direct current in the building here.
Well, pull out the plug. These are AC glasses.
Oh, all right. How's that?
Oh, I thought I was a goner there.
Your hair was standing right on end.
The only color I could see was purple.
Well, I think this invention of yours needs a little more work, Mr. Flesh. Why don't you run along and get busy on it back in the lab?
Okay, look, if any offers of financial backing come in, you can reach me at the Turkish bath downstairs. I'm going to try to get this electricity boiled out of me.
So. All right, fine. We'll get in touch with you if we need you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
I too hungry for dinner at 8. I like the theater, but never come late. I never bother with people I hate. That's why the lady is a tramp. I don't like crap games with barons and earls. Won't go to Harlem in ermine and pearls. Won't dish the dirt with the rest of the girls. That's why the lady is a tramp. I like the free, fresh wind in my hair. Life without care. I'm broke, it's old. Hate California, it's cold and it's damp. That's why the lady is a tramp.
Episode of The Gathering Dusk, the heartwarming story of a bedridden girl who ignores her illness to be overcome by the indifference of the world around her. As we look in on the Bessinger household today, Edna is resting on the banister of the basement stairway. It's mid-morning, and Mr. Fundy, the chief of the Red Boiling Springs Alcohol Tax Investigation Unit, is just entering.
Oh, it's you, Red Boiling Springs Alcohol Tax Investigation Unit Chief Fundy. It was good of you to come so soon.
Well, things were pretty quiet around the office this morning, Miss Bessinger. In fact, I was just playing a game of Scrabble with my assistant when you called and I came.
Oh,
is that so? I play quite a good deal of Scrabble myself.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, a bunch of girls here in the neighborhood have a Thursday evening Scrabble club, and I'm the sergeant at arms.
Well, I think it's a nice game. I enjoy it.
Oh, I do. Just last Thursday, I hit the word Quirtus on a triple. I picked up something like 45 points on it.
Quirtus. What does Quirtus mean, Miss Bessinger?
It doesn't mean anything. We have a club rule that you can use any word with a nice sound to it. You know, Quirtus, Swidmore, Swank, Plovet, things like that.
Well, doesn't that kind of take the fun out of the game if you can just make up words?
Well, we don't make them up. They just don't happen to be in the dictionary.
I see.
Emma Schroeder is going on her vacation next week. Maybe you'd like to take her place at our Thursday night games while she's gone. It would give you a chance to meet a lot of attractive girls.
Well, thanks for the invitation, Miss Bessinger, but I do something else on Thursday night.
What?
I don't care anything.
Well, suit yourself.
Well, I'm sure you didn't call me over here to talk about Scrabble, Miss Bessinger. Is there something I can do for you?
Yes, there is, Red Boiling Springs Alcohol Tax Investigation Unit Chief Fundy. It's about the gentleman I've rented the front bedroom to. I was cleaning up in there this morning, and I found this bottle of hooch. Now, I don't want a man who drinks bootleg booze living in my house.
Well, what makes you think this is bootleg liquor, Miss Bessinger?
Well, you can see for yourself. There's no tax stamp on the bottle. When I took a swig of it, it almost blew the top of my head off. It's hooch, all right. I just hope he hasn't set up a still someplace here in the house.
Well, didn't you read the label on this bottle before you drank the stuff? It's aftershave lotion.
Well, I don't see how aftershave lotion could pack a wallop like that. You sure it isn't a phony label?
Of course I'm sure. It's probably the witch hazel in the stuff that gave you the kick.
Well, it certainly is a relief to know that I'm not harboring a criminal, Red Boiling Springs Alcohol Tax Investigation Unit Chief Fundy. I think I'll just kill the rest of the bottle to celebrate this good news. My stars, I almost feel as if I'm no longer standing in the gathering dusk.
But if the mysterious man in the upstairs bedroom is not a bootlegger, who could he really be? Be sure to join us next time when an even more baffling development occurs in The Gathering Dusk. Let me say it.
You say it, Bob.
This is the Bob and Ray Show, so stand by.
The greatest school on earth. All right, here you are, ladies and gentlemen, here you are. USAFI offers you a golden opportunity to further your education. Make up the credits you missed before entering the service. Get yourself a higher military rating. Don't be just the face in the crowd, be a leader among men. Don't delay. See your education officer for details and enroll for a course with USAFI, the greatest school on earth.
Well, that's about it for now. We'll be back, though, in a little while with some more really funny entertainment for you folks. Right.
Ray Show has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Clean house today, so long as we have enough time here on the program. Let's take a look at some of these records. What's this one here?
I don't know. Let's put it on. It's labels all worn off there.
Yeah, we don't need that anymore. I wonder what that was supposed to be.
I don't know. Is that ever used on anything, Al?
No.
Well,
it's never used anymore. We'll throw it out. That's all right.
This one here says, man tap dancing in a haunted house. Do you remember this one?
Let me see. How's that go?
I don't remember what we used it for.
We play that at 78. Throw it out. Throw it out.
My quality's very bad on that.
It's an old one.
Any more?
Let's see. How about this one here? This is all dusty, too. Can't quite make out the label on this one. Let's put it on and see what it is.
That I think we might be able to use.
Clap of thunder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's save that because we'll need that. It is scratchy, though.
Sounds like a clap of thunder on a record. Mm-hmm. It's old.
Do we have any old steam engines that have gone out of style that we'll never use again? I mean, they're mostly diesels now.
There's one, yeah. It says this is a steam engine and can also be used for an automatic stapling machine.
Yeah. We don't need that, certainly. Throw that one out.
No, I think we use that for the newsroom, and we've abolished that. So we don't... You want to get paid for that shoe shine, don't you?
Nick, have you had your vacation yet?
No.
You this summer?
When are you going?
This month. Sometime this month, huh? Well, this
when
is...
When you go, I'll go.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well,
when next week?
Yeah. Oh, you go then, too,
this month is drawing to a close.
Are you going to go away, Nick, or...
Yeah, I think I'll go away.
Where do you think you'll go?
Massachusetts.
Napoli? Whereabouts in Massachusetts?
Boston.
Up around Boston? Do you have relatives up there?
Yeah, they might go there.
She lives where? Whereabouts?
Weymouth.
What town?
Weymouth.
Weymouth?
Weymouth.
Weymouth? In Massachusetts? Well, you know, I was born and brought up in Massachusetts. I don't ever remember hearing of it.
Falmouth.
Falmouth? It's down in Cape Cod, sure.
Sure, Cape Cod. Well, there's one.
Excuse me.
We forgot to throw out. Hey, a little later today, we're going to have a real good feature, I think, because we have, at the request of... all of the actors on The Life and Loves of Linda Lovely, they're letting their children take over today. And the little kids...
I read something about that on the bulletin board now.
Yeah, well, the little kids have written a skit of their own. And they play all the parts. There's Marcia Van Allshot's daughters in it. And Sherman L. Sturdley's son, Sherman Jr. And all of the cast who have children.
Carmen L. Hoogerman's son?
Too. Yes, they're all playing... Different
roles. Son, Roy Wheaton.
His original production. So that will be along in just a few minutes. But first, let's have some music.
Carry you through the game.
course, Word Car Jr. will do the announcing. So I think it, all in all, should be very good.
Well, okay, Word.
Well, we're back.
They're out in the other studio, aren't they?
Yes. What do they call this? They call it Merry Backstage, Noble Wife.
Oh, I see. Kind of a play on the other one.
Yes, that's
what it is. Well, are they prepared to go down there?
I think so. As soon as you give me the signal, I'll give them the signal.
Okay, I've just given you the signal.
All right, I'll go across the hall and give them the signal. We're about to hear the children of the cast of The Life and Loves of Linda Lovely in their own original dramatic skit. He's giving them a signal.
There they go. Turn on the mics.
Next. Merry Backstage, Noble Wife. Now, for the many fans to wait for on the radio, we present once again the interesting story, Merry Backstage, Noble Wife. The story is a young girl from a deserted mining town out west who comes to New York to try to find romance and security as the wife of handsome Harry Backstage, Broadway star, and what it means to be the wife of the idol of a million other women. Yesterday, Pop was rescued from the jaws of a shark in the nick of time, and with him came the brown paper bag belonging to Captain Wolf Larson. The gay celebration was planned by the captain in his mess. But several hours later now, as our friends, who are prisoners of Larson, enter the main salon of the Rita B. This must be the place, Mary.
This is where the dance will be.
Boy, I never thought Captain Larson would let us go free and just walk around the boat by ourselves. Well, we can't go very far.
I'll say.
Well, he was pretty happy to get the brown paper bag back.
I told him that I couldn't play the fiddle, but I could play the trombone. He had a trombone.
You mean he had one, Calvin?
Yeah, that went up in his room.
Oh, wait, I think he's coming over here now.
Now, you.
Hi, Captain. Where's everybody else?
You be quiet. Calvin.
Doctor.
Here is your trombone. I want you to play lively music for dancing.
Well, Calvin isn't exactly a dance music player, Captain Larson. He has studied the trombone, I understand.
Did I ask you who's going to play this
trombone? Well, I really wanted to
play. Now get up. Now have a good time.
Where will we sit, on your right or left hand?
All right. It makes no difference.
Oh, right here, Mary. Let me...
Now, Calvin.
Sit over here, Captain.
Get out.
Let me quiet.
All right.
I thought
we'll dance.
Party.
Is that it?
Yes. What's the music start?
Calvin,
you're
sure you know how to play the trombone?
Oh,
well,
no. Give it a worry. I can fake it a little.
But
get up and dance when I start playing.
All right. May I have this first dance, Mary?
Certainly, Harry.
Let's get up onto the dance floor. Lovely evening, isn't it? Hey, who are you going to dance with? Mary, what are you laughing for? Mary, don't. You call the attention of Captain Larson to the fact that no one else is here. Come on, Kelvin, keep playing. Captain Larson catches you stopping from all the other stuff. Better play, Kelvin. Are you laughing at my singing, Mary, or... Kelvin,
I can't stand it. Oh, don't let me be, Kelvin.
Thank you, your pardon, Captain Lawson.
What is it now?
I've just had a message from the radio room. We're running rock smack dead into a hurricane. Larson is visibly pale. What's that you said, first mate? I'll see me running smack dab into a hurricane.
A hurricane? A hurricane?
So, amidst the gay frivolity of Captain Wolf Larson's dance in the saloon of the Rita B, a message from the radio room announces that they're running smack dab into a hurricane. Will this mean that the ship will founder? Be sure and listen on Monday when we'll hear Captain Larson sing.
You keep playing that trombone right straight through the hurricane.
That's Monday in the next exciting episode of Merry Backstage, Noble Wife.
Well, that's about it for now. We'll be back, though, in a little while with some more really funny entertainment for you folks. Right. Show has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Oh, Elliot and Goulding, Leona seems to be to pop, pop, pop and ray, 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 hockey and come ye near. Today's the day for pop and ray, so lift your voices clear.
Pete, we weren't able to present Giannina Mia yesterday, and we want to apologize to those of you who called up. Al Schaefer, our sound man, saying you were sorry and disappointed. Al, is there anything today that... As we said, Al has laryngitis. Whether this is a dodge or on the level, we'll be able to tell
it's
next
no
week.
Dodge.
It's no dodge, he
like
says.
To sing if I could. It's a physical impossibility.
A physical impossibility for him to sing Giannina Mia today. He hopes that...
Quiet spirits.
What do you hope? That Monday you... He hopes Monday he'll be able to do it, and it smarts.
Very much so.
Very much so.
Okay, go on back to your table. Stay back there. And it's time now for the most controversial program on radio... The Mike Sturdley Interview. Here to get the story behind the story is your host, Mike Sturdley.
During the past few months, Major League Baseball has become the center of a storm that may not die out within our generation. The question of big league ball for the West Coast has been debated seriously for the first time. And in Congress, all of organized baseball has been placed under the scrutinizing eye of investigators. Here with us today is a man who can lift the veil of mystery from many of these issues. He is reserve outfielder Whitey Fragness of the Chicago Cubs. Whitey, it's an honor to have you here.
Well, Mike, I welcome this opportunity to let the public know the truth about what's happening in baseball today. I have nothing to hide myself, and I feel that an informed public is necessary to save our national pastime.
Whitey, there are some statements which you've made in the past that seem to need clarification. For example, I have here a copy of the Sporting News from March 23rd, 1956.
Oh, boy.
Now, in that publication, you're quoted as saying, and I quote, "I've changed my batting stance. I am getting good wood on the ball now, and I expect to hit 300 this year." That's the end of the quotation. Now, the truth of the matter is that you hit 126 for the season. Would you care to comment on that?
Well, yes, I'd care to comment on that.
Remember, this was a direct quote appearing in a national publication.
Yeah. Well, you see, I was more or less kidding around. All of us were, in fact. And, for one thing, I was drunk when I made the statement.
I see. In other words, you were appearing in a major league uniform while in a state of intoxication.
Well, I don't remember what I was wearing at the time. I was pretty blotto.
Now, in the Chicago Daily News, August 14th, 1955, there is another direct quotation attributed to you.
Oh, gosh.
I'd like to read it. "I feel that my ability as a distance hitter will help the Cubs. What they've needed for a long time is a man who can drive that long ball in the clutch." Well, that was on August 14th, 1955, and the record shows that you did not hit a ball out of the infield until May 26, 1957. What do you have to say about that?
Well, first, I'd like to say that the ball I hit out of the infield curved foul.
But in spite of all that's happened, you're still sticking by that statement you made 2 years ago.
Well, I think it was Dee Fondy who made the statement. I don't know how my name got connected with it at all.
Well, Whitey, don't you honestly feel that there's something wrong with Major League Baseball if it has any place for a player of your caliber?
I never made a statement on that, did I?
No, I'm just asking for an honest opinion.
Well, I want the truth to be told here. As I say, I have nothing to hide. I guess that's about it.
Well, I think we can only conclude that you have repeatedly made irresponsible statements to the press, that you're utterly devoid of athletic ability, and that you're a disgrace to the Major League uniform you wear.
Well, that's more or less the impression I've had, but I thought maybe I was being too critical, you know.
No, I'm sure that our listeners will consider you a living indictment of organized baseball. And now, until next time, this is Mike Sturdley saying thank you and goodbye.
Well, I did pretty well in the 3I League.
Just around the corner, any cozy little corner. Love is just around the corner when I'm around you. I'm a sentimental mourner, and I couldn't be forlorner when you keep me on a corner, just waiting for you. Venus de Milo was noted for her charms, but strictly between us, you're cuter than Venus, and what's more, you got arms. So let's go cuddle in a corner, any cozy little corner. Love is just around the corner, and I'm around you. Between us, you're cuter than Venus, and what's more, you got arms. So let's go cuddle in a corner, any cozy little corner. Love is just around the corner, and I'm around you. When I'm around you, when I'm around you. Thank you.
And it's time now for another episode of The Gathering Dusk, the heartwarming story of a girl whose courage has enabled her to be conquered by misfortune. As we look in on the Bessinger household today, Edna is resting in the laundry chute between the first and second floors. It's mid-afternoon, and Dr. Huber, the village eye, ear, nose, and throat specialist, is just arriving.
Oh, it's you, eye, ear, nose, and throat specialist Huber. It was nice of you to interrupt your office hours to answer my emergency call.
Well, this is the afternoon. I don't have office hours, Miss Edna. I was just sitting in my office writing a paper on polyps when you called.
Oh, is that so? It sounds like a pretty racy subject.
Well, it's just a scholarly paper, really. I hope to have it published in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
Well, I'll certainly be watching for it. My brother Waldo gave me a subscription to the AMA Journal for Christmas. I get an awful lot of enjoyment out of it.
Is that right? I didn't know that many laymen read the publication.
Oh, I wouldn't miss it for anything. Of course, I just look at the pictures mostly. Those shots of muscles, things like that they have. Remarkable photography.
Well, those are just medical drawings, Miss Edna. You can't photograph a muscle very well.
I suppose not, now that you mention it. I've often considered writing to the Journal and asking them to run more Western stories and cartoons. Your article on polyps doesn't happen to be a Western by any chance, does it?
No, it's just about polyps.
That's a pity. I get so much pleasure out of Westerns.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm sure you didn't call me over here to talk about the AMA Journal. Is there something troubling you right now?
Yes, there is, eye, ear, nose, and throat specialist Huber. I've had a terrible roaring in my ears all day. I'm so afraid it means that I'm losing my hearing. I wonder if you'd examine me and see if there's anything at all that can be done.
Well, I think I can spot the trouble without an examination, Miss Edna. You just wait here a moment.
Why, it's a miracle. You've cured me. The roaring has stopped.
Yes, ma'am. The roaring wasn't in your ears. Somebody left the water running in the bathtub. That's what you heard.
My stars, you're right. Eye, ear, nose, and throat specialist Huber. I started drawing my bath water this morning and then forgot all about it. It certainly does take a load off my mind. I almost feel as if I'm no longer standing in the gathering dusk.
And so Edna has been miraculously freed from the head noises that threatened her health. And what will all this mean in terms of next month's water bill? Be sure to join us next time when Edna faces this new crisis in The Gathering Dusk. This is the Bob and Ray Show, so stand by.
Facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
little rain pop upon this glorious day. Let joy be unfolding with fervent ecstasy. Oh, Elliot and Goulding, Leona sings to thee. To pop, 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 and ray, 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 hearty and communion. To tease the tea for pop and ray, so lift your voices, glee.
Yes,
that's right, thank you.
Another time for a show that we've worked on for the last 24 hours. Another Friday, too.
Yeah, that's what I was just checking. Just think, another weekend coming up.
Yes.
We thought we'd first check with Wally Ballou today, didn't we?
Yes.
He's had a little sibilance there today.
I've got to go to the dentist this afternoon.
We sent Wally Ballou up to a cocktail shaker factory in...
Old Lyme.
Is it Old Lyme? I thought it was in... up in New York, Newburgh, but it's in Old Lyme, Connecticut.
No, it's Old Lyme, New York.
Old Lyme, New York. Oh. Come in, please, Wally Ballou.
Wally Ballou from Newburgh, Connecticut, at the International Cocktail Shaker Factory, standing in the testing room as the brand-new shiny shakers come off the production belt. Speaking of belts, here is the manager of the testing room, who takes each one of the shakers as it comes by his desk, looks it over, tries it out. I wonder if you'd sign in, please.
Yes, sir. My name is Walter E. Below.
Mr. Below, it's very similar to Baloo.
I hope we don't get confused on this interview.
I certainly Below. Hope not. Mr. Below, how long have you been testing cocktail shakers here at this International Cocktail Shaker plant?
Well, since it opened right after the repeal of Prohibition. Of course, this factory was just lying around during the Prohibition. Then in the early 30s, we went into business again.
Just gathering dust for those years.
That's right. We had to fix the floors, had to replace several of the windows here. Of course, it became a target for the children to throw stones at.
Sure it did.
And, of course, we had to cut down a lot of ivy that grew off the walls.
Well, now you have a beautiful, clean, modern, up-to-date plant here turning out how many cocktail shakers per day?
We turn up in one day in the summertime, which, of course, is our peak season.
Uh-huh.
We turn out approximately 2,000 cocktail shakers. About a pint, pint and a half size.
Every day. That certainly is a lot. I wonder if you'd show us how you go about testing one of the shakers.
Yes, well,
I understand you just came on duty about 5 minutes ago, is that right?
Now I'm making a sour in this one.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to see if it's okay, if it doesn't leak.
Okay, now he's put the ingredients in the sour in this one. Cracked ice. Probably can hear the shaking of the background.
This does leak a little. This is a reject.
Well, what do you do with that?
This goes out to your bar rooms.
Uh-huh. Now, is that all there is to testing them? You just put them back?
That's right. We have one box that says reject and one box that says accept. The accept then go on and a wash thoroughly and a hand dried and then placed in a cardboard box. To the jobby.
Uh-huh. And what's that you're making there now? Looks like a daiquiri.
That's right.
Very cooling summer refreshment.
Yeah, get a glass of that, fellow.
Sure. And you work here 8 hours a day.
Wham dip. Want to try that?
Just like that? No, I don't believe so. I just had lunch.
Uh-huh.
So, as the wheels of industry move here in Newburgh, Connecticut...
I'll put a head on that.
...is where? Wally Ballou... sending it back to Bob and Ray in New York.
I like New York in June. How about you?
Do-do-do-bop-do-bop.
I like a Gershwin tune. How about you? I love a fireside when a storm is due. I like potato chips, moonlight, and mortar trips. How about you? I'm mad about good books. Can't get my fill. And Judy Holliday's looks give me a thrill. Holding hands in a movie show when all the lights are low may not be new, but I like it. How about you?
I like New York in June. How about you? I like a Gershwin tune. How about you? How I love a cozy fireside when the storm is due. I like potato chips, moonlight, and morning chips. How about you? I'm mad about good books. Can I get my fill? And Goddard Lieberson's looks give me a thrill. Holding hands in the movie show when all the lights are low.
Once again for Matt Neffer, Boy Spot Welder. Matt Neffer, Boy Spot Welder, based on the original series of books by Ole Olehi, today takes up chapter 27 of book 13, in which Matt finds himself perplexed. As he and his friend Todd sit discussing before an open fireplace, the affair is...
Todd?
Yes, Matt?
I wonder if maybe that fire isn't going out.
Maybe I should move the andiron a little bit.
I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, I'll try to spread it for more draft.
Is the bellows over there?
Yes, I could use the bellows to whip up a little more fire. The bellows cause quite a bit of combustion when you use them properly.
Well, it's the happy combination, I guess, of... Was it oxygen?
Oxygen and hydrogen.
Hydrogen.
Man, I know you've been perplexed about the affairs of the past week. I thought maybe you'd like to talk about it. Get it off your chest, so to speak.
Out here, Todd, in the dining room.
Yes. You've got a new linoleum down on the floor, haven't you?
You like it, Todd?
It's beautiful. It matches the rest of the room perfectly.
This room is very peaceful, I find, Todd. I do some of my best thinking in here.
The linoleum is very cool on the feet on a warm day like today.
Why did we have the fire going, Todd, on such a warm day?
That's something I haven't been able to figure out, Matt. I didn't want to bring it up because I knew you were perplexed. You were worried. But now that you've brought it up yourself, I...
Todd, out here by the book cars.
By the what, Matt?
Book cars.
Oh, the book cars, yes.
Here's an interesting book.
Why, it looks like a new dictionary.
It certainly is, Todd. It has all the proper pronunciations in there.
Something that we all should read more, the dictionary.
If you don't know your own language, then you're practically ignorant.
That's what I've always admired about you, Matt. The fact that you don't let ignorance stand in the way of success. Matt?
Todd?
Yes?
I'm out here in the Kaichin. Have you seen the moat?
So as a warm August day fades into a cool August evening, Matt and Todd sit discussing everything in general. Matt's mind seems to clear somewhat. The next episode, when we'll hear him say,
I'd like some freed claims, I think.
In the next episode, Matt Neffer, Boy Spot Welder, based on the original series of Matt Neffer books.
This is the Bob and Ray Show, so stand by.
Step right up, ladies and gentlemen, for USAFI, the greatest school on earth. Now, folks, I'd like to take just a minute of your time to ask you a question. Are you skating on thin ice? Your education not all it's cracked up to be? Well, don't get discouraged and don't let it get you down, because you, too, can get into the act with an amazing demonstration of skill, precision, and timing. USAFI can set you on the right course. Yes, friends, with a little practice and concentration, USAFI will help you cut the ice. USAFI has a course to please everybody. Self-teaching courses, correspondence courses, high school and college courses. And this opportunity isn't being offered for a limited time only. USAFI gives you all the time you need to finish your course. So if you want to cut a sharp figure, my friends, now's the time to start. Enroll for a course with USAFI, the greatest school on earth.
Well, that's about it for now. We'll be back, though, in a little while with some more really funny entertainment for you folks. Right.
Show has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Subscriptions are 100% free, and they really help me get an idea of how I'm doing. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, and as always, peace.